The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome back. I'm your host, David Williams, along with
the Sam Brewski, and we are finally back with Hoop Ball Grizz.
Hoop Ball Grizz. It's December, Sam.
It is.
20 days, less than 3 weeks.
And counting.
And we get basketball. Basketball, it counts. We get preseason, training camp, all that stuff is coming earlier.
Whoopity-doo.
We're going to start off the show with something that is completely unrelated to the Grizzlies because it literally just happened.
And I about lost my stuff.
Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Washington Wizards. Russell Westbrook for John Wall and a 2023 protected first-round pick. I cannot believe it. I will say this, well done to Houston getting a pick back for Westbrook. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought that they were going to have to move him and basically just give up, just lose all of the assets that they gave away to get him and just take a bad contract in return. So you get John Wall. Is he healthy? Is he not healthy? Who knows? You know, that's coming back off of the type of injuries that he had. I'll say this. He has looked fabulous in the videos that I've seen of him.
He looks good. He reminds me of John Wall from like 5 years ago, man.
Yeah.
He looks really, really good.
I cannot imagine after the injuries that he's dealt with that he's going to be as fast or as explosive as what he was prior. But
That would be a miracle.
Yeah.
If he is as fast. All that, yeah. I don't see that. But he's still John Wall. So.
He could lose a step and still be faster than a lot of guys in the NBA.
Yes.
John Wall can fly.
Two steps and he's down the floor. So
yeah, it's definitely craziness. So anyway, there you are. We're not breaking it. Woj tweeted it out. Shams finished a very close second place. Well done, Woj. We are going to talk about a little bit of a season preview. That's what we're going to do. Season preview today. We're going to look at the roster. Right now, the roster is sitting at 20 guys. Got to be cut down to 17 by December 22nd.
I don't know, like three weeks. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, the deadline is probably slightly before that, but I think that it's pretty well set who is going to be on this roster, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the guys that are on the roster, the amount of time that they played last year, kind of give you an idea of what we think the rotation is going to be. And we'll go from there. We're going to start off number one, the first one on my list. I hope it's the first one on Sam's list. If it's not, he's doing it wrong.
Must be.
Ja Morant. We all know what Ja's role is on this team. Ja played 31 minutes a game last year, and he is going to play that again this year. He's going to be the starting guard. There's no doubt about it. Ja's the starting guard. We know that Jaren is going to be the starting four. We know that Jonas is going to be the starting five.
No doubt.
Those three are locked in.
No doubt.
Hands down, no doubt about it. Those three are locked in. That's three of the five starters. What happens from there? We know that Jaren and Justice are both out to start the season. There's been tentative talks of Jaren coming back in January. January is still pretty vague because that could be 2 weeks into the season, seeing that it starts on the 22nd. He comes back the first week of January. He misses 2 weeks. Okay. Could be 6 weeks into the season. It could be the end of January.
January 30th.
So there's not a lot of clarity on when Jaren's going to come back. And I looked and looked and looked today, and I didn't remember seeing anything, but I wanted to look and see. There was no timeline for Justice. The one thing that I did find is Coach Jenkins said, we're going to be cautious. We're going to err on the side of caution. We want these guys to be 100% healthy before they hit the floor. I agree with that.
That's fair. Well, you need that. You don't need to rush anybody back. This is a very young team. Got some young, very young players, good players. And I mean,
sure, yeah.
And you rush somebody back, they get hurt even more. I mean, look at Justice, but
yeah,
he's been hurt for a while. So.
He's been struggling. A lot of injuries over the last couple of years for him. So you definitely want him to be at 100%.
Yes.
You know, thought he was healthy last year. had the injury in the bubble, shut him down for the rest of the season.
Yep.
And, you know, I say last year like it was that long ago. It's not. It hasn't been that long
just
ago.
A couple months ago, really.
So you got to get these guys healthy. But so let's move on. We talked those three. You and I both agree, and I think that's universal. Everybody's going to agree that Ja at the one, Jaren at the four, and JV at the five. That's three of the five starters. And we're going to assume that everybody is healthy because obviously Jaren is not going to be starting beginning of the season. We just talked about that. But assuming everybody is healthy, what's the starting five going to look like? Does Dylan keep his spot at the two? Is Justice going to come in and play the two? Is Justice going to play the three? Is Dylan coming off the bench? What's going to happen? If Dylan comes off the bench, is his ego going to be able to handle that? Can he accept a bench role? Don't know. There's been – so you go back when Garrett Temple – was it 2 years ago now? I think 2 years ago, Temple was on the squad, and he got the starting nod over Dylan. And Dylan was a little toxic about it. You know, he made it known that he was not happy that he wasn't starting. I didn't agree with starting Temple over Brooks because, to me, you know, Brooks is a future guy. But – Bickerstaff was coaching win now. He was wanting to win, and he felt like Temple gave him the better. Temple at the time, Temple was a better defender than Dylan. Dylan was, he still is young. So there's growing. He needs to grow. There's stuff that he needs to do better. If you watch the Grizzlies, you know that there's things that Dylan needs to do better. But I didn't agree with Temple being the starter over him, and Dylan obviously didn't. So, you know, Dylan Brooks – Here's the thing. This is what really intrigues me heading into this season, Sam. Over the course of a game, you got 48 minutes, five positions, that's 240 minutes a game that you have to have five guys on the floor, right? 240 mm-hmm. minutes between five positions, that's what you got. So I'm going to run through this real quick. Ja at 31, Jaren 28, Dylan 29, Kyle 20, JV 26, Tyus 19, DeAnthony Melton 20, Brandon Clark 22, Grayson Allen 19, Gorgie Zhang 17, John Conchar 9. Ran through it fast. Do you know what that adds up to?
240.
It does exactly. It's crazy, but it really does. Like, yeah. If you guys want to go back, run the tape back, it's 240. All right? Now, here's guys that I did not mention in that 240 minutes. Justice Winslow, Xavier Tillman, Desmond Bain, Jonte Porter. Who's pulling back? Who is going to lose minutes? Kyle Anderson, I do not think that Kyle is part of the future of this team. I feel like he gets moved at some point. Maybe he plays out his contract in Memphis and then walks. I don't know what happens. But Kyle does not. He doesn't really fit the mold for what this team is doing right now. I think Kyle sees a drop in minutes. But outside of Kyle, which one of those guys, like, who do you see out of that list, Sam, that is going to be losing minutes? You got to figure out Desmond Bane. You know, you moved up to take him at the end of the first round. Xavier Tillman.
He'll play Desmond for sure.
Desmond's going to play. I feel like Tillman is definitely going to play as well. Yeah. And obviously, like, when you get closer, when you're playing for the playoffs, your rotation is going to shrink dramatically. You're going to go from a probably 11, 12-man rotation down to
eight, maybe, possibly
nine.
Yeah.
But who sees the fall off, Sam?
Marco Goodrich, probably.
Well, I didn't even put Marco's. So, okay, I'm going to run through. Right now they're sitting at 20. Sam, give me all 20 of the guys that are on the team right now.
Okay, we've got Grayson Allen, Kyle Anderson, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, Gorgie Zhang, Marco Goodrich, Mario Hezonja, JJ.
Lasagna!
Triple J, Tyus Jones, John Conchar, Sean McDermott. Well, he's a two-way, but.
You're fine.
DeAnthony Melton, Ja Morant. Jonte Porter, Killian Tilly, Xavier Tillman Sr., Jahlil Tripp, Jonas Valanciunas, Yo JV, Jaeger, and then Justice Winslow.
All right, so Tilly and McDermott are on two-way contracts.
Yes.
All right, So their playing time is going to be extremely limited. They're, you know, like, they're not going to be with a team every game. And I feel like there's probably going to be some sort of COVID precaution. Like, they're going to probably be allowed to be with the team more because of COVID this year. The NBA done a fantastic job in the bubble. Zero positives the entire time.
Did finished awesome.
Yeah, it was great. They set the bar high and nobody else has came close. But here's the reality of it. These teams are not going to be in a bubble. They've had 48 players test positive already before even, like, they're just starting training camp this week. They've had 48 positives already.
Man.
There are going to be positives. There's no way around it. You cannot keep 30 teams in a bubble somewhere. You cannot do it. It's not feasible. It's not going to happen. There's going to be some games that probably get canceled. There's going to be stuff that gets moved and pushed and pulled. That's why you get the first half of the season schedule, and after March, whatever, 20, I don't even remember what the date is, but end of March, then you get the second half of the schedule. We'll probably get it a little bit before then. I figure we'll probably get it early to mid-March. We'll get the second half of the season schedule. They're going to have to adapt because these guys are going to be living in the world, and unfortunately, COVID is out there. They're going to get exposed to it. It's just part of the beast. It's the nature of the beast. It's going to happen. How well do they plan? Is their plan better than MLB? Is it better than NFL? We don't know. We'll see. But it's going to happen. So you got Killian Tilly and Sean McDermott. They're two-way. That takes you from 20 to 18, and you still got to cut some from there. So you've still got... You got to go down to 15. So you have 13 active, 2 inactives, and your 2 ways for a total of 7. Right, yeah, 17. Jahlil Tripp is on a 10-day exhibition contract or exhibit contract. I don't know how they word that. So Jahlil Tripp, Killian Tilly, Sean McDermott. That takes you from 20 down to 17. You still got to cut 2. You know that Justice and Jaren are going to be they're going to be on the injured reserve, basically. They're going to be the reserves, the inactives, for however long until they come back. So some of these guys are going to get to be on the roster opening day, and then when Justice and Jaren get healthy, then they're going to get moved. But you're not going to have everybody. You're not. And so I was wondering who that was going to be, what they were going to do, because Gudrich is still under contract. They just traded for Hezonja, or got Hezonja in a trade. They didn't trade for him. But anyway, so they pick him up. But today, Chris Harrington, he tweeted out that Hezonja and Gudrich are not at training camp, and they don't expect them to be at training camp. So that's your roster. Right there. You lose Hezonja and Gudrich, which they're probably looking at some sort of buyout for both of those guys. There were talks about trying to move them. You may get some interest in Hezonja. He was a top 5 pick. He's 25 years old. I don't know. You may get some sort of assets out of him.
He's not bad. I mean, he's not great. He ain't a stud. I mean,
I don't.
He's in the NBA. Obviously, he's good, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's in the NBA, yeah. But, like, is he a player that is going to warrant playing time? And there's nobody
on here.
There's nobody on that list. We've obviously not got to watch Jontay Porter. We don't know what he's going to do. But based off of what he was prior to his injuries, I think I'm taking a chance on him. He's younger.
Absolutely.
I'm keeping him, and the Grizzlies apparently think the same thing because they signed Jonte. He was only under contract for 1 year, and then they just signed him to an extension this year. They just signed him earlier, like a few weeks ago. They signed him and extended him. So they like what they're seeing from him. It's going to be it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this rotation because Gorgie, He was at 17 minutes a game, and he was productive. You got his stats, Sam. What were Gorgie's stats?
Oh, Gorgie. He was at 17 and a half minutes. He averaged 1 3-pointer, 5.8 rebounds, 1.2 assists, right under one steal, but we'll say one steal, one block, and 7.4 points.
Okay, so, I mean, that was productive. Mm-hmm. As a guy that's not playing that many games, and I would think that they would want to keep him somewhat in the rotation because he's an expiring contract, so they're probably going to look to move him at the trade deadline to get something in return, whether it's another young player or picks or maybe they're in the playoff hunt and they want to make a trade for a piece that's missing. It's crazy to me the amount of talent that they have because we talked about Desmond Bane. I was so excited when they moved up and they got him. He's going to play. And Xavier Tillman, I just don't see any way that he doesn't play unless he just completely underperforms. There's been conversations, like Grizzlies fans, they're like, oh, you know, Tillman is just going to clog up the four spot. Tillman's not playing the four. He's not going to play the four. He's 6 foot seven and a half without shoes on, 6 foot nine with shoes on, and he's got a 7 foot one wingspan. Gosh. He is an undersized big, but there have been – so I'm going to say three names, and then I'm going to get away from this. Dennis Rodman, Draymond Green, and Ben Wallace. None of those guys, none of them were bigger than 6 foot nine. None of them. And all three of those guys are in the conversation for some of the best defensive bigs to ever play the game.
Wasn't Rodman 6'6"?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Draymond Green is 6 foot six.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Ben Wallace was 6'8".
He was 6'7" or 6'8". But
yeah. I should have looked that up.
I know Rodman was 6'6" for sure.
But, yeah, it is – yes, he is an undersized big, but one – the NBA is playing smaller than what it has in the past. Two, there's not that many guys at 6'8 that he's really going to struggle guarding. There's a few guys like Anthony Davis probably would give him some trouble guarding him. Anthony Davis doesn't play the five. He's a four because he's a freaking sissy and doesn't want the label of center. I like Anthony Davis, but that crap drives me crazy. You're 7 foot, bro. You're 7 foot tall. Who cares what freaking label you have on you on the position? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
You know, so there's Jokic, Bam Adebayo, and I'm not convinced that Bam would necessarily be a bad matchup for him, but Bam is going to have the advantage because of height and length. So that, yeah, there's a handful of guys out there that he may struggle guarding. But he works hard. He comes from Michigan State. Tom Izzo is a fantastic coach. I'm not even in the smallest amount. There's no part of me that doubts that Xavier Tillman can play the five and be effective in the NBA at 6 foot, seven and a half, 6 foot nine shoes, whatever you want to call it 6'7". He still has a 7'1" wingspan, and that puts his standing reach at like 9'3" or whatever.
Ridiculous.
He's gonna be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's gonna play. That's two guys that you got to carve minutes out for, and you got guys that are probably like, if you don't play Gorgie, are you gonna be able to move his contract? And if you don't move his contract, are you comfortable just letting him walk? Maybe they are. But the way this front office has been doing, I don't think that's the case. I will be blown away if Gorgie Dieng is a Grizzly at the end of the season. I don't see that there's any way of that. The expiring contract, obviously, I know I'm aware that Gorgie is not a stud. He's not a superstar. He's not necessarily a guy that's going to help you win a championship. Maybe if you need some backup big man minutes, maybe you see that he is. But that expiring contract is valuable, especially with the list of guys that are going to be free agents. This year, so you had a name, Anthony Davis, in free agency heading into this year. everybody and their brothers, mamas, cousins, next door neighbors, everybody knows Anthony Davis is not leaving Los Angeles. You got some big names that are free agents next year that are probably going to be moving. So that expiring contract to free up money for these other teams, that's something that's going to be valuable. You can get something in return for that. And the 2021 draft, if you've not been watching college basketball, I suggest that you do it, because some of these names at the top of this draft for next season are putting on a show. Some of these guys are raising their stock. Jalen Suggs is a guy. Unfortunately, he got injured tonight. I don't know the severity of it. I just saw that he went down. Somebody said it looks like it may be Achilles. We don't know how serious it is, but Jalen Suggs was a middle-of-the-first-round guy whose stock was rising because of the way that he was playing. The 2021 draft is loaded. If the Grizzlies move Gorgui for somebody else to free up cap space and end up with a first-round pick,
they be cooking.
A load of guys that are going to be extremely helpful to NBA teams. And next year's draft is far more loaded than this year's draft was. They'll be in a good spot. So let's look at this, Sam. We're kind of talking. I'm kind of, you know, running around in circles here, not really saying I'm saying stuff, but not really narrowing anything down. Everybody's healthy. Let's say we're mid-February, everybody's healthy. Who is your starting five?
Ja, obviously.
You don't have to say. We know Ja, Jaren, and JV.
Okay.
The other two, so the shooting guard and the small forward.
Dylan Brooks, Justice Winslow.
Okay. So Kyle started last year
mm-hmm.
at the three. You feel like they just moved Kyle to the bench?
I think so.
And plug Justice in.
I mean, that's the way I would do it, for sure.
Yeah.
Justice is a way better scorer than him. Now, Kyle does other stuff that you don't see.
Yeah, right? I mean, he's a secondary playmaker. Kyle makes winning plays. I like Kyle.
He had a heck of a game in the bubble. Boy, yeah. He was running point most of the time there when he was out there. I mean, he was a beast. Do that all the time, Kyle. You'll start for me, but...
I don't disagree with that starting lineup. I think that's what you do. I don't know if maybe you don't see Dylan come off the bench, man. Mm-hmm. It would not surprise me if it goes Ja, Justice, Kyle, Jaren, and Jonas.
That wouldn't be bad either. But
again, it's all about what is Dylan Brooks willing to accept. Here's the thing. I like Dylan. If you've listened to the show any at all, I'm on the Dylan Brooks Island. I support Dylan. I think that he has more there that he's not showing. I think that he has been successful, but there have been holes in his game because he is in a role that he's not really suited for. I think Dylan Brooks is going to be a good NBA player for a long time because of how hard he works on defense. He is just not in an optimal offensive role right now. For him to be, he can create his own shot. You look up and down this roster right now, prior to the draft, there was nobody else on this roster outside of Ja Morant that can create a shot for themselves better than Dylan Brooks. You can go through the list. We can talk about everybody on the list. There's nobody on that list that has the skill set that Dylan Brooks has. Does Dylan get tunnel vision? Yes. Does
Bad.
Dylan play hero ball? Yes.
Bad.
Does Dylan make mistakes? Absolutely yes. He does.
No.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
If you get him into an optimal role, I think that you see stuff like that and improve. There's nothing in his game right now that cannot be fixed with coaching unless he is just not receptive.
Not a good way to put it.
Plain and simple. He's 24 years old, and that's what the guys over at Grizzly Bear Blues, Bruce, blah, 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 blah.
English is hard. I didn't realize Dylan was that young still.
Yeah, 24 years old. So
wow.
He can still grow. But they were asking, like, what are the things that you're looking forward to going into this season? And I was like, I want to see the growth with Ja. Does he become a 20-point-a-game guy? Is his jump shot better? Like, I want to see the growth with Ja. But more importantly to me is the definition of what these other guys are going to be. What is Dylan Brooks going to do? Is he going to improve this year? Or is he going to play his way out of being a Grizzly? Is Justice Winslow going to stay healthy and be a part of this team? If he's not healthy, you just don't extend him. It's fine. Let him walk. Sayonara, see you later. Done. You're going to know this season what you need to focus on. What's Desmond Bane going to bring to the table? We know that he can shoot. We know that he's a good playmaker. What is he going to do? What's his role going to be? Does Desmond Bane play well enough that he works his way into a starting position this year? I don't think that's likely.
Probably not this year.
I don't think that's likely this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I really, really like Desmond Bane, and he fits a role that for years the Grizzlies have been needing, a wing that can create his own shot and be a secondary playmaker. Desmond Bane can shoot the freaking lights out. He is an excellent passer, high IQ, no doubt in my mind he can be a secondary playmaker, no problem. No problem. But this year is going to be a year that the Grizzlies learn about what they have, and then they look forward into free agency next year. And what do? Who do you go get? Do you go sign a guy? Who are you drafting? What do you need? Is Xavier Tillman, you drafted him this year, he sees the floor, he's playing, is he your five of the future? Or are you going after a five in the draft? You know, you don't know. That's what this year is. The Grizzlies can improve this year, still miss the playoffs, but they're going to know where they stand after this year. The West is going to be tougher. Klay Thompson went down. I hate that for the Warriors. I'm not a Warriors fan, but when the Warriors are healthy, it's good for basketball. It really is. So Klay Thompson went down, but the Warriors are not, they're not hurt. They traded for Kelly Oubre. So their starting lineup is still going to be solid with Steph Curry, Wiggins, Oubre, Draymond Green, James Wiseman.
I couldn't believe they got Kelly, man. That
Kelly Oubre is young enough. I don't see why OKC didn't hold on to him.
Exactly.
But, you know, I just couldn't Sam Presti and his love for draft picks, man.
Well, he's got like 500 of them, you know, in the next 2 years. He's got the whole 60 next year or so.
They're taking everybody in the draft.
They're getting everybody. They have like what? They have like three or four next year.
Man,
the first
I don't
round
know.
Or
I know
like
it's
that.
Like it's like 18 over the next 4 years.
Yeah,
they
17
have.
Or 18 the next
first
four
round, to, first round picks.
Oh, first round pick. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're in a good spot, but this is going to be a learning year for the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. I think that you definitely. I think Kyle's minutes fall. He may start. He didn't play that many. He played. Kyle started last year the majority of the time. He played 20 minutes a game.
Yep.
He may start and play right around that. JV is still going to get his time. Tyus at 19. DeAnthony Melton at 20. What DeAnthony Melton do you see? Because if it's DeAnthony Melton of the bubble.
He gone.
You know, they just signed him to an extension. It's not gone, but he's losing minutes.
Yeah, he ain't playing for me if it's that DeAnthony Melton.
Grayson Allen at the end of the bubble, he was playing very well, so the 19 minutes a game, I don't know that that slides any. Dylan playing 30 minutes a game with the guys that you got, you may see that go down some. And I think that that is having guys that can come in, having Desmond Bane or Justice Winslow, guys that can come in to fill the role that Dylan is filling and letting him rest and come off the bench as a spark, you know, that's going to be a huge plus. That's going to be a big, big plus, and that's something that is going to benefit this team, this roster, tremendously. It's tough to look. I'll tell you this. I would not want to be in Taylor Jenkins' shoes right now because you had Brandon Clark playing 22 minutes a game. With the way he produced last year, you've got to see an increase in that. does Brandon move into a starting role and stay in a starting role this year? Does JV move to a secondary role off the bench? No, probably not.
Better not. I'll be
upset. Like I don't think that this is the year that you see JV move. Like they're not. I'm not saying move as in trade, but
that'll be next year.
There will be a time either end of this year or next year when you see JV's minutes fall.
It'll be next year.
Because you're developing this team, knowing that even though JV is not old by any stretch, as you move forward, JV is going to be a guy that you move. He's going to be a guy that's no longer a Grizzly. I hate it. I love him. You guys know that Sam loves him.
He's all right.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a learning year. And what do? You look at the pieces that you have. You look at the developmental guys. And you're like, okay, we play Grayson Allen. Grayson struggled with injuries last year. He started off slow. Started playing much better. Got injured. He came back into the bubble, wasn't playing all that well to start off. By the time they finished in the bubble, he was arguably the second best Grizzly on the floor. Jaren was out. Like, he, at the end of the bubble, Grayson was doing everything that you wanted him to do.
Yep, he looked
so
good.
What does he do? What is his role moving forward? Are you keeping him? Are you signing him? Is he moving on? There are plenty of guys. They just signed DeAnthony Melton to a contract extension. It is a pretty favorable contract in the fact that if they see that he is not what they want, they could probably move that contract without any problems because of his age and the projections of what he could be. I think with Tyus coming back and being healthy, that you'll see more of the pre-bubble DeAnthony Melton. That's my hope. Jahlil Tripp's going to be G League. He's going to be playing his game in South Haven, and that's fine. Defensive specialist, super athletic kid. Get down there, get some development time in the G League. Maybe you come up later. Same thing, Killian Tilly. He's a guy that is first-round talent. No doubt about it, first-round talent for this draft. But just health concerns is the reason he went undrafted. He's a guy that could very well be moving up. 6'10 guy that can rebound and shoot the ball. Hello, you need a rebounder next to Jaren Jackson.
How Tay.
You need it. Jaren, I'm going to go out. I'm going to say this right now. Jaren will never in his career be an elite rebounder.
And that surprises me.
It's completely fine, too.
That is. But as big as he is, I mean, he just cannot.
But he's not your typical big. Pull up Dirk's numbers. What did Dirk average for rebounds in his career?
We're not comparing that.
But
apples,
I'm just saying,
oranges.
Like, he's not a typical big man. Dirk is a 7-footer, and he didn't average 11 rebounds a game. I think he's around 6 or 7.
He was like 7 or 8, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know off
don't
the top of my head. Maybe I should.
I'll get right
but,
here in about 10
you know,
seconds.
Just because he's almost 7 foot tall doesn't mean that he has to be a dominant rebounder. He doesn't have to be. Brandon Clark is an excellent rebounder. Brandon Clark can get down there and get the boards. You put pieces around him, you know that he's not a good rebounder. Okay, fine. I'm going to find somebody to play beside him and get rebounds. What you got over there, Sam?
I don't think this is – oh, no, that is –
Over his career,
he only averaged 3.7 rebounds is what this says, but that just doesn't sound right to
Dirk
me. Yep.
Only averaged 4 rebounds a game?
There ain't, because, I mean, there's some here that he averaged 10, 10, 8, 9, 9,
Where are
9.
You looking at? Sam
trash.
Is looking, he's looking at junk.
It's trash. Hang on. I'll
he
it.
Doesn't know. Sam is awful. I don't even know why I had you look up the stats.
I know.
You're
kidding,
supposed
right?
to be the stat man and you're slacking.
Blame Google.
Google. I mean, he probably used some crazy basketball reference.
That's what I'm trying to learn.
7.5 rebounds.
That's what I said, Bunny Bread.
7 or 8.
We're
so Sam
say
was
7.3.
Right. So, you know, yeah, Dirk, if Jaren gets to the 7 rebounds, if he gets the average in 7 rebounds a game, is that going to make people happy? I don't care if it does or not. He can average 5 rebounds a game for his career and do the things on the offensive end and defensive end that he's capable of doing. He's a great rim protector, gets in passing lanes, uses his length to break up passes, learn how to stop fouling, don't care about your rebounds. That's I don't easy. Care that you're a 7-footer and not pulling down 10 a game.
Well, I do. Doesn't if you're 7-foot, 10 rebounds are your trash.
It is what it is. I don't care either way. I'm fine with what he brings to the table. I say that you put pieces around him. Xavier Tillman is a great fit. You'll go back and check. John Chepkevich of the Pro Basketball Combine, he came on and he said, hey, this is a guy that if he's there, the Grizzlies may look at taking because of his chemistry with Jaren Jackson and what he's able to do. And John Chepkevich called it. He said Xavier Tillman, if he's there, they had to move up to get him. They moved up to 35 to get him, but they did. And I'm fine with that. No, I like Xavier Tillman. So is there anybody on the list that we didn't talk about, Sam? I think we talked about a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, we pretty much covered everybody, man. Let me look.
We know what JV's going to do.
Yeah,
we know what Jaren.
We covered everybody.
I think the big question marks for this year, so we're going to close with this, Sam, and then we'll let everybody know where they can find us. We're going to close with this. I want to know three things this season that are important to you. Like, what do you want to see? Three things from the Grizzlies this season. What do you want to see? What are they?
Okay. Everybody come back and be healthy. That's a big thing right there. I would like to see that. Everybody play, be good. I'd like to see them have a winning record, be honest with you. I know that's pushing it, but that'd be neat. A third one. Let me think about that. Jonas averaged 20 and 15. Let's go.
He's talking craziness with his last one.
It's Drummond numbers. We can do it.
The over-under on him right now is 15.5 points and 11.5 rebounds.
Yeah.
That's the Vegas over-under on him right now. So that's probably
– I'm okay with that too.
I think that's probably right around where he's going to hang. It wouldn't surprise me if he went over on the rebounds, to be honest with you.
He did.
But I don't think that he's going to average much more than 15 to 17.
Not with that team, no.
And I mean, you don't need him to average more than – there's going to be nights when he's going to carry –
oh, for sure.
You know, but you don't need him to.
I mean, he's scored in the 30s multiple times. We've been there for a couple of them.
Yeah. Did you miss his career high and then whenever?
Well, that was his then career high, and then it was 33, and then he scored 34 against the Magic.
Yeah, it was. Sam was so pissed at me too.
I was.
He was mad because I was there for the 33-point game. He's like, "That was JB's career high, and I wasn't even there."
I was mad.
Oh, it was great.
It was funny because I remember checking fantasy about that. That was funny because I looked and he had like. I don't remember what he had in the first quarter. I'm like, this dude's going to score 40. I'm like, oh, my God, this dude's going to score 40 points. And he had like 20 by halftime. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's going to score 50. Holy crap. And he
would have
had 34,
game.
But he missed that free throw at the end.
Yeah.
He purposely did it. But
purposely missed the free throw.
He purposely missed the free throw because there was 0.1 seconds left. They were playing the Rockets.
To end the game.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's all we've got today. That's, you know, there's a lot of good things. Oh, it's not. I didn't even give you the three things that I'm looking forward to. Sam was just going to let me close it, too. Slack.
I was, actually. Yeah, I guess so. Go ahead.
So my three things are this. Three big things for me. I want to know what Dylan Brooks is. I think this year tells you what he is. Is he going to be your starter? Does he make the adjustments that he needs to make to get to the next level? Last year, the things that he'd done – showed like when he was good, the Grizzlies won. When he was bad,
the Grizzlies lost.
It's just how it is. I don't remember what I know Fisher's they were
role.
Like 16 and 0 at one point with him scoring 20 points or more.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, you know, they had a couple losses with him scoring 20. I don't remember what the season record ended, but can Dylan Brooks accept a lesser role? Can Dylan Brooks fix the things that he needs to fix to stick around on this team to be a long-term piece? So Dylan Brooks and his growth, that's one. Number two for me is the other role players and what they're going to do. What are we going to see from Bain and Tillman and Justice and Grayson, DeAnthony Melton? We know what Tyus Jones brings to the table. When he's healthy, we know what Tyus is. I'm not really concerned with him, but De'Anthony Melton, Grayson Allen, Justice Winslow, Xavier Tillman, Desmond Bane, those guys, those secondary players, what are they bringing to the table? And number three, since Sam went crazy, I want to see Jaren win most improved player.
I could see that.
So he put up good numbers. Mm-hmm. He did. He really did. In order for him to win most improved player, it would have to be absolutely craziness. But
I could see that, though.
He showed me in the game against San Antonio in the bubble where if they had won the game, he made a shot at the end of regulation to show like that he has the clutch gene.
I remember that.
I want to see him take it to the next level. I know, I've seen it, the Bucks game when he scored 100 points in one quarter, what seemed like 100. The dude was chucking it up.
Nine three-pointers in a game or something?
Yeah.
It was like seven threes in a quarter or so, third quarter. Dude, it was, because I wasn't buying, like everybody, after he made the second one, I remember that. It was like everybody made second or third one, people were jumping up going crazy. I'm like, I'm not buying
you,
in
you
yet.
You could feel the tension just mm-hmm. right, like the energy rising in the forum.
You could.
As he made.
When he made a real deep one and I jumped up, I'm like, okay, I'm in, dude. You got me. Yeah. I'm in.
It was electric, man.
It was awesome.
It was insanity to watch it. And I can't even imagine. I was talking to Dan about this. You know, Clay scored 40 in one quarter. Jaren scored 27 in that quarter. That's the most I've seen scored in one quarter. But 27, and I don't know how he could have scored more. He did not miss. It didn't matter where he was shooting it from. He did not miss. Everything was falling.
It was like two logo threes almost.
Yeah. There was one that he threw it up, and I just knew it as soon as he released it. Like, he was super deep, and I'm like, it's in.
Yeah, well, we were lined up with him on one. You could tell it was a deep one. He pulled up, shot it, and I'm like, that's in. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, boom.
So I want to – I mean, it's a growth year for me. If you can't tell, that's what I want to see. I want to see growth from these guys to get an idea of what the Grizzlies need to do moving forward in order to become a playoff team and a contending team. So we're going to get ready to roll out of here. Before we go, though, we're going to talk to you about our partners here at HoopBall, MyBookie.ag. They just had an odds boost, another odds boost day. There was a safety bet on, I think it was the Texans game. It was a Thanksgiving safety bet, up to $250. If you bet and you won, you get your money, you win. If you lose, you don't get your money back, but they give you up to a $250 credit. So there was no losing that bet. It was Texans-Lions was the game. And so if you bet on that game, you could not lose. There was no way for you to lose money. If you did lose the bet, if you took the Lions side and you lost the bet, then your money would stay on as credit and you'd have to play it on something else. But then as the weekend rolled on, they had odds boost days, and Dan and the guys over at HoopBall Gaming, they were keeping up. Dan was keeping you posted on what he was taking. But it was an easy $400, between $400 and $450, depending on what you bet. The bets that are very, very likely to win. And that's they had a couple, I think, that pushed. But these guys over at MyBookie, it's the best online sports book that you can find. They have more lines and better odds than any other sports book out there. You can go over there and use our promo code HoopBall, and they're going to match your initial deposit 100%. Make sure you use it, the promo code MyBookie.ag, promo code HoopBall. Let them know that we sent you. Get signed up. They're going to have more odds boost days. There's been, you know, maybe a Christmas odds boost. I don't know exactly what they're doing yet, but they're already in talks of another odds boost days. And those are days when you can essentially put your money on the line for little to no risk. So go check it out, mybookie.ag. Enter the promo code HoopBall and get your money.
Get it.
You can find the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWill2111. Sam is?
It is SammyB1118. That's a capital S, lowercase A-M-M-Y, capital B, 1118.
before we go, fantasy basketball season is up and running. Sam and I are both in the middle of a long draft right now.
Don't do that, guys. It's awful.
The Brewski 150 has released for the Hoopball 360, guys, and if I'm not mistaken, it will release on Thursday for the Fantasy Pass, guys. Get over to hoop-ball.com. Get signed up. The Fantasy Pass is $4.99 a month. That gets you the draft guide, the Brewski 150, and a ton of tools throughout the season. They're going to help you be competitive and win your league. It's hoop-ball.com. Go over, get signed up, do the Fantasy Pass. If you're a betting guy, you want the Wager Pass, you can get it all bundled in, Wager Pass, Fantasy Pass, all of it in the Hoopball 360. If you get Hoopball 360, you have access to the Brewski 150 right now. If not, you can wait till tomorrow and the Fantasy Pass gets access to the Brewski 150. Get it. Win your fantasy leagues. You will not regret it.
It is absolutely worth having. It's awesome.
Grizzlies are in training camp. We have basketball that counts in less than 3 weeks.
I'm excited.
Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time, go Grizz.
Go Grizz.
Jaeger.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.